Now, you might have looked at the bulletin and thought to yourself, wow, Pastor, what a way to ring in a celebration with the story of the thieves on the cross. But today is a day to celebrate, and I'm going to make sure we tie all that together. But I want to tell you that 5 years ago when I walked into this building, I saw something. I wasn't quite sure what it was, but I saw something new and something different. And I saw a congregation that had the passion and the faith and the trust and the gusto to actually accomplish something amazing. And so it is from that position that my mind and my heart started really getting excited about the possibilities here at First Presbyterian Church. Was it going to be new ministry? Was it going to be a new ministry space? What was it going to be? I remember at one point I sat down in my office up in the old White House with a plan of the church I had found in some closet. I laid it out, and with sticky notes, I started redesigning different areas. I felt like a kid with Legos. I was just having a great time saying, what if, what if, what if? And then, what if we could do this type of ministry with this type of amenity? For a while, I sat on those ideas and prayed on them. And one day, I sat down with Kathy Shermer and Mary Hoagland and Tom Vorpahl and Brittany Dickerson and a few others. It was so long ago, I forget. Sunny and Sandy were a part of that. It was this great group, and I just started really giving ideas. I said, what if we did this? And it was like a dangerous green light for Dino brainstorming on ideas session. So we prayed about that. We just kind of let it go for a while. We came up with sort of a plan, but then things started happening around the church campus. If you recall, we had a few toasty Sundays in here for the last few years. You may recall we had some roof leak issues about 3 years ago, and these things started costing real money, and in some ways it kind of forced our hand to start really thinking about what we could do. What needed freshening up? What needed to be taken out? What needed to be made new? What did we have to do? What could we do? What would improve our church? What modern amenities were missing? Why was it so hard to find your way through the maze of hallways? All these questions kept going through my mind. Plus, what are all the things we simply just have to fix? So we prayed some more, and then we asked the real question, where is the money going to come from? So we did some soul searching and a lot more prayer, and suddenly teams started forming, people who were catching the vision of what we could do and unashamedly saying, I think we can. I think we really can. We prayed some more. We got you all involved. We hatched a crazy plan, a God-sized plan. And here we find ourselves in November 2019 on the brink of a historic moment, albeit without parking and air for a while. We are on the brink of a historic moment for our church, for our congregation, for our life together. And I guess my message for today is that we have to remember, while all this is going on, what we're even doing here as a church in the kingdom of God, as part of the body of Christ. What is the point of all this stuff anyway? And that's where I think the story of the thieves on the cross, this holy interaction, really points us to the reality of what this project is all about. So today we're wrapping up our holy interactions. We're kicking off Advent next week, if you can believe that. It'll be December next time I see you. But today we are going to celebrate. We've been looking at... let's let that go by. All right. We've been looking at Nicodemus, who's brought from darkness into light, the sinful woman, who is not condemned but is transformed and told to leave her life of sin. We looked at three stewardship-based interactions, and we learned that stewardship is a matter of the heart. Then we looked at the Samaritan woman and realized that we're not in with God because of anything we have done, but what God has done. We simply respond with the whole of our lives. And then we looked at Mary and Martha. Mary's resting in Jesus' presence, and she's the one who's on the right track amidst the hustle and bustle of everything going on. And we wrap up the series with arguably the last interaction of Jesus' life on earth, at least before the resurrection, and it's the thieves on the cross that remind us what this whole faith journey is about anyway. So let's turn to Luke chapter 23, verses 39 to 43. Let's listen to God's word for us. One of the criminals who hung there hurled insults at Jesus. "Aren't you the Messiah? Save yourself and us." But the other criminal rebuked him. "Don't you fear God?" he said, "since you are under the same sentence, we are punished justly, for we are getting what our deeds deserve, but this man has done nothing wrong." Then he said, "Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom." And Jesus answered him, "Truly I tell you, today you will be with me in paradise." Amen. Now this conversation, this holy interaction, only happens in Luke's gospel. But the reason I think it's so appropriate for today is that while Christ's innocence and power are made very clear in this account, the thieves understand that part. It's the immediate realization of God's saving grace through Christ that becomes the focus of the entire account, and ought to be the focus of our entire lives. Think about it this way, it's the last thing we hear Jesus say before it is finished, before his life is done. And in that reality alone, that is Jesus' parting words, there's a huge amount of emphasis placed on saving life in him. Let's talk about the criminals for a second. I think they represent who we are as people. We tend to fall on one side or the other. One of them is taunting Jesus almost sarcastically. He's dying, and in his last minute, in his last breaths, he decides to be unkind and reveal his self-centeredness. "Hey, Jesus, get me down from here, why don't you? Jesus, do something for me. With all this power that you've been talking about, all this God stuff you've been talking about, why don't you get yourself down and take me with you?" I mean, a lot of people treat Jesus today just like that. "Jesus, what have you done for me lately? And what will you do for me?" But in his mocking of Jesus, he isn't showing very much faith at all, is he? And then we have the other criminal, who rebukes the rude criminal. He's hanging on the cross and he's taking stock of his life. He's thinking about all the things he's done wrong. He's thinking about how he's remorseful. He's realizing that he has received the justice he deserves. He proclaims that Jesus is an innocent man, and he isn't thinking about himself. Instead, he's locking himself into Jesus, recognizing that Jesus is a godly man who will be in eternity. He doesn't ask Jesus to whisk him away to eternity. He simply says, "Will you remember me? Will you remember this moment? Will you remember that my life was this, but now I'm turning to you with everything that I have left, with everything that I am?" And upon that very act, absent of anything good, bad, or indifferent that he's done in his life, Jesus realizes the depth of the man's faith, even at the last hour, the last minute, and grants him salvation. Unlike the provoking thief, this man isn't asking for anything. The first thief wants to be saved for selfish reasons. The second thief simply wants to be remembered unselfishly. And ultimately, he is the one who gets saved. He's not saved in a way that's going to work for him in the present, however. He is saved in a way that's going to be eternal. It does nothing for him hanging on the cross. He will, in fact, die from that punishment. It removes any tangible need or desire that could be addressed. But he gets to the heart and soul of what Jesus is all about, of Jesus' whole ministry, a ministry that extends to us today, which is that Jesus came to touch hearts and save souls. So that's what First Press is here to do, friends. The old First Press, the First Press that was started 130-something years ago, was here to bring people closer to Jesus. And the First Press of the present, the First Press of the future, is here to do the same. We're not here to rehash the past, and we're not here to pat ourselves on the back of all the things we've done in the present, or we're not here to declare that a building in and of itself is going to give us a new bright future. Rather, we are here to declare that salvation through Jesus Christ is available, is a very real reality for every single person who's willing to let go of their own ways and submit to Christ's lordship. And that is a journey that gives us new life here and now, and eternal life. And everything we have, and everything we've been given, everything we've been blessed with, is simply a tool to be put into use for the proclamation of the gospel. Our resources, this building, renovated or not, our leaders, our volunteers, our programs, and each one of us is simply a tool to be used for the kingdom of God, to bring people nearer to Jesus, so that they too can say, "Lord, remember me in paradise," and have that assurance that we truly will be with him. Everything we have and everything we do is simply a tool to be used by God's faithful stewards. And today we stand here believing that we have been able to do that, and we are going to do that through this project. Not for the building of our church, but for the building up of his church. So the reason we are doing this new construction is because I, as well as our leadership, and you have spent the last few years in prayer and discernment about what to do, believing with the whole of our hearts that this newly renovated building that is a gift from God above all else will give us the ability to do new ministry, unique things, exciting ministries that will in turn excite people about Jesus. Not excite people about First Presbyterian Church. Not excite people about the choir or the pastor, or anything we have going on here, but excite people about Jesus and drive them toward the saving faith that he offers. And we will use this tool to call people's attention to the gospel, remembering Christ's example of such on the cross. It will give us the ability to walk alongside you, and for you to walk alongside everyone who comes through these doors in faithful ministry, in each of our discipleship journeys as our hearts are cultivated for Jesus and as people come to know him in a very real way. Friends, this is a new day, a day where together we stand and strive to honor Christ with everything we have, and especially with the whole of our lives. That's something to celebrate. Amen.